We start today's program with other news from the state capitol. Jim Small is an editor and more for the Arizona Capital Times and joins me now. Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
Jim, Governor Brewer vetoed two gun-related bills yesterday. What would they have done, and what was the reaction to it?
Yeah, the first bill would have allowed guns to be in private, would have allowed people to carry their weapons into public buildings where there is no armed security on patrol. It's a retread of an idea that we've seen come up probably for the last 3 or 4 years. This is the third time it's reached the governor's desk. A similar idea has reached the governor's desk, and it's the third time she's vetoed it and essentially said that it presents, you know, an incredible cost to cities and counties who are basically being told, if you don't want to allow weapons into your facility, you need to have, you know, armed security there, and you need to have, you know, things like metal detectors and gun lockers and instruments like that. And so the governor has once again vetoed this measure and she's used similar logic every time she's done it.
So, Jim, then why do these bills come up again?
Well, because you do have a legislature that does advocate for expanding gun rights. And, even though the governor may veto it, that doesn't mean that the legislature is going to just sit back and not debate and consider and even approve measures that maybe don't meet her qualifications for good legislation. And each bill, I think it's worth noting, has been changed over the years, with an attempt to try to address some of the governor's concerns. But obviously, I think that at the end of the day, there's just a fundamental difference in opinion as to what is appropriate for a public building and what is not.
Jim, in the 2013 regular session, lawmakers and the governor, as we all remember, fought over Medicaid expansion. Now the State Court of Appeals has revived a lawsuit to block it. Where does it stand now?
Right now, the governor said yesterday that she plans on appealing that ruling to the state Supreme Court to have them be the final arbiters of whether this lawsuit can continue. Essentially, a trial court judge had said that the legislators, 36 Republicans, did not have standing to sue the governor. Her logic was essentially that while the Arizona Constitution does require a two-thirds approval, in order to increase state revenues, it is up to a simple majority of the legislature to decide whether to add that two-thirds approval clause onto a bill. And because a simple majority decided that that wasn't necessary on this bill, then basically the rights of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit weren't infringed on, and they weren't harmed in any way, and so they didn't have grounds to sue. The appellate court said that the trial court's logic was wrong, and that even though the legislature decided that it didn't need to have a supermajority approval, that the Constitution still does require it in certain cases, and that these legislators should be allowed to make their case. The court didn't weigh in on whether the Medicaid expansion was unconstitutionally passed, but merely said that the plaintiffs have the opportunity to at least make an argument that it was, and then the court should decide it on those merits.
And I'm risking understatement here, Jim, but this could be a hugely impactful decision.
It absolutely could. If the lawsuit, if the courts ultimately find that the legislature violated the Constitution when it passed this Medicaid expansion, it absolutely could be very expensive. What the Medicaid expansion did was restore our Medicaid population back to the 100% of the federal poverty level, which voters have on several occasions said that they want. And beyond that, it also expanded it from 100% to about 138% of the federal poverty level. And in doing so, the state essentially for the next few years gets $9 in federal money for every $1 it spends to cover those health care costs. And moving forward, the state is still going to be getting a multiple times match from the federal government to cover these costs. So in a situation where if this were to get struck down by the courts, you'd be in a situation where the state would have to find to come up with the money, either the money to pay for this population up to 100%, or the legislature would have to consider the expansion and go back to it and pass it with a two-thirds majority, which seems to be unlikely to happen, although if this takes several years, the makeup of the legislature may look different than it does now.
Jimmy, just have a few seconds left, but what more remains to be done during this current session?
There's about 90 bills that are still alive, give or take, when work started about an hour ago this morning. They are, by all accounts, it looks like they're making a pretty hard push to wrap up the legislative session by the end of the week, today, if not tomorrow. There's not a whole lot of major outstanding bills that remain. There are, you know, a couple of issues. One thing I think that needs to be followed is the empowerment scholarship accounts legislation, see if any of that comes back to expand that voucher program for schools, and also some fixes to the campaign finance laws that were passed last year, things to kind of basically erase some unintended consequences.
Jim Small of the Arizona Capital Times. Jim, thanks as always.
My pleasure.